What is this thing called confidence? When you talk with somebody, you can tell if they speak or carry themselves or have a general look in their eye of being confident. Actors can kind of fake it, but when you're applying for a job, when you're asking for a raise, when you're, whatever, pleading your case before a judge, you got to have it. Often when we're faced with failure or a major setback in our lives and we've got to make decisions, sometimes under great pressure, you need to move through those decisions and be free from fear and do it with confidence. When you start a business, it's not that failure is not an option, which is that cliched line. You will have failure. In the studio right now is Barry Moltz, and he's written a very interesting book that's got a lot of positive buzz. It's called Bounce: Failure, Resiliency, and Confidence to Achieve Your Next Great Success. Hi-ho, Barry, good to have you aboard.
Thanks for having me.
Let's get into this. Confidence and being not afraid of failure holds people back. This becomes in itself a major impediment to progress.
It definitely is, because what people think is that they don't want to fail, because failure, no matter what we say, is really looked on poorly by our society. We only really can talk about our failure once we've succeeded, once we've moved past that. People love the great comeback. You know, think Rocky, think J.K. Rowling's. However, the poorer that you were, the richer then you become. We love those kind of stories. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, Bill, that most people think that you can always learn something from failure. And what I tell people is, that's not true. Sometimes it just thinks there's absolutely nothing to learn. And it actually does hold people back, because when people do fail, they stay in this spot and they say, well, I can't move forward until I figure out what I'm supposed to learn, why this failure came to me.
But sometimes if you fall into the pit of failure and you climb out, you fall into the same pit again. So there's at least some value in learning what got you down there in the first place.
Well, I think that sometimes you can learn. The question is, I don't think you can always learn, at least not right now. The key to confidence is this thing that we talk about called resiliency, that you've got to be able to bounce. When great things happen, you should celebrate. When difficult things happen, I think that people should feel sorry for themselves. I think people should have a pity party. But pretty soon, you got to let go. You got to bounce, and you got to move on to another opportunity that can give you another chance of success.
Now, your main application for what we're talking about here is in the business context, but as I've paged through the book, it does seem to have broad and somewhat universal application in life.
Especially now, because every single day on the news, unfortunately, we're hearing all of these bad messages, all of these things fail. Every single day, things happen well and things don't happen well. How do you handle the really good times, and how do you transition through the difficult times? This is really, I think, that's going to determine who's happy, who's not, who's successful, who's not.
Barry, it's interesting because we're talking about success and achievement and glory. And in the athletic contest, they're always talking about how so much of winning is a mental game. And that, again, is with everything in life. I mean, you can blame circumstances, you can blame the unforeseen, you can blame things out of your control, but it's your mind, your attitude, and this sense of confidence and your ability to be resilient that maybe plays more into the outcome that you want to achieve.
You need to have that confidence. You question why a team like the Miami Dolphins, who went 1-15 last year, this year they end up winning their division. How does that happen? How does it that Chad Pennington, who leaves the Jets, goes and then leads the Miami Dolphins to this division championship? It really is a lot in the mind. If you've ever played golf and you're sitting there and you say, God, I hope I don't hit my ball into the sand trap. I hope I don't hit my ball
into
the sand trap.
You're almost willing it to go there.
Exactly. You go in the sand trap. So it's what you focus on. And then when people are in this place of failure, they have all these negative thoughts. And so what I tell people is they have to set these patient interim goals. What they want is some quick success, so they then can get some more confidence and move on to their longer-term goals.
We were talking yesterday, I was on the air between 1 and 4 on WGN, about New Year's resolutions, the idea of being focused on goals. And one caller called in, I thought he had some great information. It says, don't look at improving yourself in terms of the negative. I want to lose weight, for example. Look at the positive side. I want to gain a more attractive body, for example. And that sort of becomes momentum for you. And that pulls you through some of the challenging parts of life, or in this particular case, losing weight. And that becomes almost a self-fulfilling goal, because that's what you're focused on, the positive.
Well, that's the whole thing of why The Secret, that book, was so popular, because the whole idea was that you become whatever you focus in on. And I think this year, Bill, that is going to be the bigger challenge, is how do we focus on positive things when all around us, especially in the first half of the year, we see all this doom and gloom. The good thing is, as a small business owner, as an employee, it doesn't take too many good things to happen for you really have a good year.
How about this idea of fear? Because fear of failure, fear itself, becomes something that just paralyzes you and holds you back, and you're indecisive.
I tell people that it's okay to be afraid. You know, in our society, we keep saying that you shouldn't be afraid, there should have no fear. There's all these branding things around it. But I think it's okay to be afraid, and then you have to work with yourself to move through that fear. I travel on an airplane. I do 100 flights a year, and guess what? I hate flying. So how do I get past that? On my iPhone, I have what's called a turbulence tunes list. So whenever there gets bad turbulence, I put on that list, and somehow I make it through.
Is it soothing music or heavy rock?
It's actually heavy rock, yeah. And I really get into it, and I get lost, so I don't necessarily feel all the bumps up and down.
Yeah.
But you have to figure out how to move through it. Dale Carnegie had a great thing years ago where he says, you know, we're never going to make the butterflies go away. We just have to teach them to fly in formation.
That's interesting. And that's from you mentioned that. Make
right.
Fear fly in formation. That's
right.
The term that you use in your book. That's Barry Moltz. His book is terrific. Bounce, Failure, Resiliency, and Confidence to Achieve Your Next Great Success. Hey, I'm going to keep talking because I've got a ton of questions for him. But if you want to jump in, if you've got a question or a comment, something we're talking about resonates with you, give us a call. Catherine Delk is standing by to take a call at 312-591-7200. It's 2:17 and a half here on News Talk 720 WGN.
Throw down the gloves and peel off the lids. Here we go.
Bring out the Blackhawks.
Hey, I'm Chris Hewitt.
Brian Campbell. Patrick Kane.
Jonathan Toews. Dustin Bufflin.
This is Brent Sopel, and this is the voice of the Blackhawks.
WGN.
United Center is rocking again.
Tomorrow night at 5:50.
Score!
It's the Calgary Flames in Chicago.
The puck stops here.
News Talk 720.
Knocked down by Buffalo with a big body
check. WGN.
Put away that snow shovel and winter coat as WGN Radio takes you to sunny Mesa, Arizona for rest, relaxation, and baseball. Join us for a spring training trip, March 6th through the 9th. The four-day trip features tickets to three games, a pregame happy hour at the field, deluxe accommodations, airfare and ground transportation, all for under $1,000 per person. Visit WGNRadio.com for details. But hurry, trips must be booked by January 6th. It's the perfect holiday gift. Log on to WGNRadio.com today.
News Talk 720 WGN wants you to know La Rabida Children's Hospital offers comprehensive medical and diagnostic services to low-income children with chronic illnesses, disabilities, or who are victims of abuse. La Rabida, a beneficiary of the WGN Neediest Kids Fund, treats approximately 9,000 children a year, regardless of their ability to pay. For more information, call 773-363-6700. A reminder from the caring voice of Chicago, News Talk 720 WGN.
Barry Moltz is you're a business consultant, is that right? When you say you're traveling, is this client work?
I do client work, but also I do a lot of motivational speaking at various conferences and schools and things of that nature.
Is it hard to emote as you've been on this show and sit down? Because it seems like you just want to be standing up and talking to a big group.
It is very difficult to sit down
you've
and
already be emotional. You've banged the mic a few times already.
To be emotional. Although I saw one person once at a National Speakers Association. He spoke in front of 2,000 people and was sitting in a chair, and he said that he practiced that every day for a year.
It took him that long? Aye. We have the fellow who does the Pet Central show, Steve Dale. He stands up to do his show, and he's gesturing all the time. What do you mean by this? Use choices to embrace failure. I wasn't clear on that.
In the end, I really believe that failure gives you a choice. When you are knocked out on your butt, when you're fired from your job, when your company goes bankrupt, guess what? You have no choice but to go do something else. So many times in my experience where I've been kicked out of companies, where I've gone into business, I want to extend those things really much past when it was healthy to be in those kind of business arrangements or business issues. When you're put out on your butt, when you fail, it does give you a choice. You say, okay, it's the end of this. Now I can go in this direction, or I can go in this direction, or I can go in this direction. You have to start something new.
That's so interesting, because that was one of the key points that we were making during this, what we call the Running Down Your Dream Tour that my co-host Jeff Carroll and I were doing last month. The idea that so many people are unemployed, they know they are in the wrong job, they're not satisfied, they don't feel fulfillment, they're in it maybe just to keep a paycheck coming in, but it's the wrong job for them. And now they're out on their duff because they've lost their job. The hardest part is the first step to change. And so circumstances have now forced that change on you. Take advantage of it.
I tell people, if you're forced to make a change, think about what you're passionate about doing.
That's exactly what we're talking about.
And then see if, from a business standpoint, if you can solve someone's pain doing that passion. Because remember, people buy when they're in pain. People spend money when they're in pain. So that's the first thing you have to think about if you want to go in a different direction with your business life.
Ego, does that get in the way of decision making?
Oh, I think it does all the time. There's a lot of people out there that have a streak of a lot of success, and then they think that they have the Midas touch, that no matter what they do, they're going to succeed. And they think, here's a decision I'm going to make. It's going to be right. It's going to be right. It's going to be right. And for a while, they're on a pretty good streak. But then they stop listening to their advisors that are around them, Bill, and pretty soon that streak turns into some failure. That's why I say we're all going to have success. We're all going to have failure multiple times. It's the attitude. It's the resiliency that's going to be the key to success in the long run.
Well, resiliency, but also not being afraid, not just of failure, but of taking risks. Because that's where often the greatest growth comes from.
And that's why it's really great to live in America, because in the book we talked about what is other cultures' attitudes towards risk, what are other cultures' attitudes towards failure. And in America, at least you get a chance to come back from failure. Our bankruptcy laws give us that opportunity. In other cultures, especially the Asian culture, you don't get that chance. Once you fail, that's it. There are some people we interviewed in the book that they were in Taiwan. When they failed, they actually had to move out of the country to get a new opportunity.
Now, what does that mean? There's a stigma associated with
failure?
There's
such a large stigma to a person failing that you don't get another chance. At least here in America, you do get that second, third, and sometimes fourth chance.
Do you think people are too focused on the outcome, the specifics of their goal, and not about the pathway that leads them to what they want?
I think we are. You know, unfortunately, we're such a diverse society here. One of the ways that we keep score, an important way we keep score, is through money. So a lot of us are focused on that. What I tell people is that you have to look at what I call money plus goals. A lot of folks will say, nah, you know, money isn't important. Well, guess what? It is important, but it's not the only thing. What are your important life goals besides money? What do you want to do in your life? People ask me, Bill, what is my definition of success? My definition of success is being able to support my family in something I really love to do. That's really where it's at.
Do you feel that we're all here with a specific purpose, and that not always is the job that we're doing, the job that we're spending most of our waking hours doing, not fulfilling that specific purpose?
I do. I think that everyone has something to contribute to the world and society. I may not discover the cure to cancer, but I may be able to help this friend out or this family member out. I think we all have good contributions to make.
Well, that's why it's so important to be discerning and not be focused too much on the money thing or listening to what other people think you should be doing, but really probing your own soul and figuring out, well, what are the things that give me joy? And what kinds of jobs would put me in that kind of space that would be the most fulfilling to me? And if you're money-centric, if that is your main objective, you're probably not going to find a job that is all that fulfilling.
And money doesn't have to, as I said, doesn't have to be the only thing. What you can do is you can achieve your passion, achieve your goals outside your job. Maybe it's in your hobby. Maybe it's through taking care of your friends, your family, or something of that nature. There's always other things to do, but I think it's important to think about what is your passion.
How about defining success? A particular brand of success, as you address it in the book, and creating that, a unique brand of success.
You know, unfortunately, a lot of us grew up where our parents really defined what success was for us.
You're going to be a doctor.
Right. I mean, there's that old joke when a set of Jewish parents, you know, they have a child, they send out birth notices, says, I want to announce the birth of my son, Dr. Barry Moltz. And that's how much it's pre-programmed into you.
Are you speaking from experience?
I am. Barry? You should see the invitations.
You're kidding, right?
Unfortunately, I'm not.
Oh, my heavens. Now, your son's in the studio. Are you practicing this with him letting him figure out how the world works for him?
You know, it's funny because a lot of people say to me, what do you want your sons? I have two sons, Ethan 16 and Daniel 13. They say, what do you want your sons to be when they grow up? And I say, I want them to be anything that they can be passionate about. Mm. That's the most important thing to pursue. And I really do believe the rest can take care of itself. Even if it doesn't financially, if you don't at some point in your life pursue what you're passionate about, you will forever regret that, and you don't want to.
But Barry, are we all on our own in that pursuit? Because I don't think that the schools really help bring out and help people look within to figure out what that passion is, and you sort of by default get onto a career path. Then you get past a certain point of no return. You think it's too late now. I'm stuck doing this for 40 years.
Well, I think it's much better than it was. When I was in high school, I really only had two career goals in mind. One was to be a doctor, one was to be a lawyer. But I think now, especially in the 1990s with the advent of entrepreneurship, more of that has gotten into the lower levels of the grades. And people see there are a lot of opportunities out there. There are jobs that are available that people never knew anything about or even existed. So I think it's gotten a little bit better, although it's not as good as I think it could be.
Yeah, you know, I just had a son. He's about to graduate from college, and I don't really feel in his case that the system, the academic system, helped him come to terms with some of these questions that we all should be asking ourselves. I think it was, you know, you take the basic assessments, and you just sort of find your direction in a general way, but it's not really focusing you on looking with a discerning eye at the kinds of things that you're meant to do on this world.
I'm not so sure how important it is when someone graduates college for them to really know what they want to do. I think actually it's okay to wander. I always tell people I'm 48 now. It took me to my early 40s to really realize what do I really want to do when I grow up. I think sometimes we try to pigeonhole people too early, and I don't think that's good either.
But wouldn't you also agree, though, that there are clues that there are unique things that we enjoy doing, and that's manifest certainly by teen years.
Absolutely. My son, who's 16 right now, loves going to the movies, written his first screenplay. He wants to be a Hollywood director. I think that's great. I think he should go pursue that. So those are some clues that we're getting. Just because it's difficult, just because he may never be able to support himself doing that, I think that's where you got to start.
Think of all the super achievers in entertainment, motion pictures, in athletics. If their parents were saying, now that's not sensible, basketball. No, you know, be a doctor, you know, that kind of thinking. You see that, you hear that all the time. And luckily, though, there are parents who maybe early on realize that the son or the daughter has a certain aptitude and lets that flourish. But so often, you wonder how many other Michael Jordans there might have been had a parent said, yes, if you want to play basketball, you better understand what the realities are of that choice. But if that's what you feel is your pursuit of life, do it.
That's why I love so much the
story. You are passionate. You are banging our equipment around left and right.
It's just hard to stay in one place, Bill. That is why I always love the story of Steven Spielberg and his mother, that famous story about how she took him out of school so he could pursue videotaping and doing films. I think that's important. I think if parents would think about how can they really support their children's choices, I think we get them off in the right direction.
Yeah, even if they see it as somewhat of a frivolous pastime. Who knows? At least expose them to it to some degree so that maybe they'll be able to see whether or not it is.
You know, my son Daniel here, he wants to play professional baseball. Who am I to say that he can't do that? I think he'd go in that direction and try.
That's sort of the default standard kind of dream that so many young men have, isn't it? It's funny. My oldest boy wanted to do that too, and now he's in biology. Okay, the name of the book is Bounce, and there's a nice tightly wound rubber ball made from rubber bands on the cover. Failure, resiliency, and confidence to achieve your next great success. Barry, I'm so glad you came by. You've got another book in you coming out?
I do. I'm doing one on customer service because, unlike other people, when I have dreams, I have bad customer service dreams. So that's what I'm writing about next.
Wow. I look forward to that because who does not relate to what you're talking about?